Good evening, James McCanny here with my Science Hour, July 28th, 2011. And tonight's show will be a little bit different than my normal format. Tonight I'm going to replay a pre-recorded broadcast the interview was done in April. I'm doing this because this was my last interview with Pastor Peter Peters before he passed away a number of weeks ago. And so this is a somewhat telling interview where I announced that what I've discovered is that the secret societies, the people are friendly federal government and the people that run the world, control presidents and leaders of other countries and create wars, create banking disasters, destroy your lives in 8 ways to Sunday. They are using what I've discovered are prime numbers. Now they use numerology, they use astrology, they use issues related with the heavens, and this is kind of a satanic religion that has been going on really for thousands of years. These people have secret, very strange worship habits. And, of course, they have to keep them secret because if the people out here knew what they were doing, they have to rule by deception, by pretending that they wear suits and they're great people. But that's just a big deception. So, at any rate, the interview, as I said, took place in April, and I discuss my findings regarding the use of prime numbers in planning events. Now, why would they use prime numbers? Well, up until I did my work on prime numbers, discovering the patterns of prime numbers and how to calculate them, it was generally believed throughout history that prime numbers had no rhyme or reason or patterns, and therefore, they were kind of individual sacred numbers, no pattern, no relationship between them. And so they could be used, in a sense, and no one could discover when their next event would be. Well, now that you can see the patterns in the primes and understand them, that kind of blows the cover on their use of prime numbers. And they've had these events planned, some of them really, for a very, very long time. So anyway, the interview goes through my discussion, and Pastor Peters, as I said, did this interview. It was somewhat of an impromptu interview, but I was talking to him on the phone, and he said, I'd like to record this for my audience. And so we did. Some of you may have heard this interview because my show airs on Pastor Peter's network, Scriptures for America, on Friday evening, 10 p.m., and Saturday morning, 3 a.m. Central Time, WTWW. So at any rate, without further ado, here is the interview recorded last April, my last interview with Pastor Peter Peters on the Scripture for America network. And then after it finishes, it's about 54 minutes, I believe. So after I finish, after the pre-recorded part finishes, I'll come in again and have a few words before the show ends.
It is time for Scriptures for America Worldwide with Pastor Peter J. Peters. All around the world, from the United States to Canada, Europe, Russia, South Africa, Australia, the Holy Spirit is stirring the hearts of godly Christians. The Bible says, quote, as an eagle stirreth up his nest, end quote. We invite you to stay tuned as Pastor Peter J. Peters shines the mighty light of the gospel on the source of our problems and the only solution. Please keep Scriptures for America in your prayers. And now, Pastor Peters.
And it is Thursday, April 28, 2011. Greetings in the blessed holy name of Lord Jesus Christ. You're going to find that this Scriptures for America broadcast is going to be interesting, but much different than others. You're going to be hearing of a recent interview I just did with scientist James McCanny, but there are some points I need to make before I give you the interview, scriptural points. I need to make these points so the information you're going to be hearing will make sense to you. Now, there's a reason Pastor Peter's continually asks for your prayers, prayers of protection, and prayers for him and his family and ranch wranglers to be protected and be able to have the energy to press on in this fight between good and evil. You'll note that we request your prayers more than we do your funds, but we need funds in order to do all the things that we're doing here at Scriptures for America. Now, the Bible speaks in Ephesians chapter 6 of the spiritual forces of wickedness. And it speaks also of Satan and Satan's children, the snakes, the tares, the sons of hell, bastards. The Bible speaks of them, and Jesus Christ spoke of them. When God brings judgment down on His people for their sins, He uses other peoples and nations as the spanking rod. That's the point I want to make. The other peoples did it, but it was God, the God of Israel, that allowed them to do it and used and made them do it. He even called Nebuchadnezzar, the head of Babylon, his servant. Such was the case with not only the Babylonians, but with the Assyrians. And I want to say such is the case today in these Day of the Lord events that are going on presently. There were just more that went on last night down in Tuscaloosa, Alabama. 160 tornadoes, I understand, over 200 people dead. I couldn't help but think of a scripture. It's found in Psalm 78, verse 34 and 35. When he killed them, then they sought him and returned and searched diligently for God. And they remembered that God was their rock. We need to remember that God said in Malachi chapter 1 that they would build, but He would destroy down. He said in Malachi chapter 1 verse 4, they may build, but I will tear down, and men will call them the wicked territory, and the people towards whom the Lord is indignant forever. And your eyes will see this, and you will say, the Lord be magnified beyond the borders of Israel. Now what were they building? They were building the Tower of Babel. The Tower of Babel was nothing more than one world government. There's nothing new under the sun. And you read about that building there in Genesis chapter 11, verses 2 through 9. And there's something that God said. He said, come now, in verse 7, let us go down there and confuse their language that they may not understand one another. And He said this in verse 6, behold, they are one people, they all have the same language, and this is what they began to do. And now nothing which they purpose to do will be impossible for them. And you're going to find with this interview with McCanny that there seems to be that they can do things that you and I never dreamed they could do. But remember, it's God allowing them to, and they will pay. And with that said, I want to go to the interview, and remember, these broadcasts are made possible with your prayers and your financial support. Here's my interview with James McCanny.
Okay, Pastor Peters, what do we have, about a half an hour? Is that what we're going to
However long you want.
Okay, well, let's let this roll. The purpose of this conversation with Pastor Peters, we were talking a little while ago on the phone, and I was explaining some new research that I had been doing regarding prime numbers. And a number of years ago, probably about four more years ago, I published a book. This was the public announcement of a solution I had come up with for prime numbers. Historically, the oldest problem in mathematics dealt with prime numbers. And the fact that there had never been a pattern, no one had ever been able to understand where these numbers come from or why they're there, or any patterns to the prime numbers. The prime number is a number like 3 or 7 or 11 that does not have any factors. It can only be divided by itself in 1. That's the traditional definition of a prime number. And so, by their very nature, they were believed to be numbers that had no relation. There were no patterns. There was no reason why 11 and 7 would be related, or 23 is another prime number. These were just numbers. In fact, they're all of the numbers that do not appear in the standard multiplication table. If you look at a multiplication table including all of the numbers and all of their products, the prime numbers are all the numbers that don't appear in that table. So they've always been believed to be just random numbers. And what I've discovered recently, first of all, I just wanted to reiterate that many years ago I started working on understanding the patterns and understanding the prime numbers, and I finally came up with a solution and an equation which allows you to directly calculate the prime numbers, something that no one ever believed would be possible. This problem has been known about since the early Greeks, 2,500 years ago, and every mathematician in history has worked on this problem, and the solution has escaped them. It's a very subtle solution. But at any rate, as I presented this work to the mathematical community, first of all, these are mathematicians around the world who work in mathematical analysis and other types of mathematics. And at first they'd be very excited and oh, this is tremendous, and they'd look at the work, and then I'd call them a couple weeks later and they didn't want to talk about it. They didn't want to have anything to do with this. They would talk about they didn't even acknowledge that they had talked to me before. Some of them had original conversations with me of maybe an hour or more. And even with email exchanges. And then all of a sudden, one by one, they would not have anything to do with this topic. And I'm thinking, what's going on here? How strange is this? This is a mathematical problem that's very important. And so what's going on here? So recently I started to put one and one together, understanding that there's some issue with prime numbers here. And someone was getting to these people, these professors in universities all around the world, in France, in the United States, in other countries, in Japan, and basically shutting them off and telling them not to go there, not to talk about this, not to teach this subject to their students. And so what I finally realized is that the secret societies, these are the bankers, the international bankers that run the international banking community, that operate the U.S. government, that operate probably 150 of the governments around the world behind the scenes, the ones that create false money, the ones that the CIA is their private police force. These people have been using, now these are the people we're all, most of the people listening to this would understand that 9/11, the event of two planes crashing into the New York Trade Towers, and then the subsequent collapse of these buildings, which we're all convinced was demolition work. But at any rate, the people planning these events, and these people go back a long way, thousands of years in the lineage of these people in secret societies, they have been using prime numbers to plan their events. Prime numbers, if you understand, they use numerology, astrology, devil worship, sorcery. Why does the Pentagon have five sides? All the rest of the buildings in Washington have four. Why does the center of war and basically world control militarily have five sides? Well, this is part of the pattern. If you look at obelisks around the world, where they're located in Washington, in the central location of certain churches, you see a pattern here. These are not Christian symbols or whatever. These are sorcery symbols. How did they get there? Who put them there? And who is taking over these institutions one by one? The U.S. government, the Catholic Church. You start to look at this, and then the basis of this, as I was saying, is based on devil worship, numerology, and the point I want to make today is dealing with numerology. Since they believe that the prime numbers were random with no pattern, then they could use those to plan their events, sometimes many years in advance, and then no one would be able to detect their patterns, their pattern of operation. Okay, so now let's fast forward to the release of my book, Calculate Crimes, and the release of the information that you can, in fact, put patterns in the prime numbers. Why would somebody be going to these professors and basically tell them, this is a topic you do not talk about? Which would mean someone was tapping my phone, following my conversations, and as soon as I would get off the phone with these people, someone would pay them a visit. And this is not just one or two people. This is dozens and dozens of people who, in universities, Harvard, other universities around the world, Paris, who should be all over this problem that there is a solution, finally, to understanding the prime numbers. And I present it in a manner that any third-grade math student with acute ability to do mathematics, even a third grader could understand this. So it's not like there's some problems where there's only 10 people in the world that might understand it. This is understandable by everybody. So the point of this conversation is I started doing research into the patterns of events, the beginning of wars, stock market crashes, passages of legislation, international events, the beginning of the United Nations, just to name a few. Other events where entire institutions were taken over, other major events in the U.S. government, for example, and looking for the patterns of these major events, when certain important legislation was passed, on what date, and why was it so important to pass it on that date? Because these are achievements. These are achievements in the eyes of the secret societies, and I call them secret societies because these groups, we know, have been operating for literally thousands of years, and they will target an institution like something big, like, for example, the Catholic Church, and then methodically go in and take it over and turn it into something that it was never meant to be. I know Pastor Peter talks a lot about the religious leaders, or the so-called religious leaders of today, and how they basically sold out to a set of false beliefs, and they're actually teaching this. And I see that also. It's just shocking and amazing where these should be the core central leaders of the world, and they've completely been taken over by groups of with false information, very subtle false information that they're getting the people to believe and getting the people to act in certain ways. So at any rate, Pastor Peters, I have a whole laundry list of topics here. Let me just go through kind of my laundry list of topics that I have here.
All right. By the way, I want to tell you that we're working on DC Street Sorcery number 2 and number 3.
And, right. That's on my list, Pastor Peters, and that's I've reviewed those. Of course, you've sent me the preliminaries of the new ones, and of course, the first disc. And you understand the importance of the geometry that is used to lay up Washington, for example, and your video is so excellent at pointing this out. And a lot of the geometry deals with shapes, geometric shapes that have a prime number of sides, triangles, pentagons, things like that deal with these relationships of numerology. And so if one were to delve into devil worship or sorcery, numerology, and other types of endeavors like that, you're going to find these patterns in shapes, and certain shapes are worshipped because they have certain power, etc. So that's excellent work there to show the layout of the streets of Washington, D.C. James, go ahead, Pastor Peters.
I'm going to send you a book. I think I've got some left. And it's called Rulers of Evil. And it was the man that wrote it is dead now. And his conclusion at the end of it is so bad that I never did put it out publicly. But he did a study of all the different things and the dates and all in D.C. and the buildings. And with what you're talking about, I think you'll find it very interesting. I'm going to send you a copy of that.
Excellent. Thank you. Yeah, this is... So once we start digging into the dates, like the beginning dates of when the banking was installed in this country, you find that they put these through, and it was very important to do these on certain dates. They could have waited a year, another month, a couple more days, but there were very specific days when they had to have these accomplishments completed. You look at the beginning of wars, stock market crashes, other events that, and now what we're dealing with is, so-called terrorist events, and now we're dealing with what appear to be natural events. For example, the earthquake in Japan. Here's just an example. So I've been talking about prime number patterns. The number six is very important in prime numbers. It is the difference between many prime numbers, 6, 60, and other related multiples of 6, are the difference between certain prime numbers. And so let's take a look, for example, at the 9-1-1 date. That was, of course, when the two planes in 2001, I believe, crashed into the New York Trade Buildings and started what is basically the decline and the takeover of modern America, the United States. It was the final straw which allowed legislation to be passed 100-0. When have you ever seen Congress pass anything 100-0? But after 9-1-1, everything was 100-0, 100-0, 100-0. And then years later, these congressmen looked and they said, how could we have passed this legislation? And they tried to undo it, but they couldn't. They had basically given control of Congress over to the executive branch of the government out of fear. But at any rate, okay, that's 9-1-1. That's September 11th. If you add 6 months to that date, 10 years later, you arrive at March 11th, which happens to be the date of the Japanese earthquake. Now, here's a natural event. The planes flying into the building in New York was blamed on terrorists. Well, all of the studies that have been done on that show that there were never any Arabs on those planes. There's a litany of books and research that have been done to show that 9-1-1 was done with military planes holding big gas tanks, and the big flame that came out that you all saw was actually gasoline burning. It wasn't jet fuel at all. Jet fuel doesn't burn like that, and certainly not in the mammoth flames that you saw. They love these big, towering inferno-type Hollywood scenes, but an actual jetliner would never do the kind of things that happened that day. But the point is that, okay, now we fast forward to March 11, 2011, the Japanese earthquake. There were over 50, there were something like 51 six-point earthquakes and above the day of the Japanese earthquake, all in the same place. And when it happened, I said, you know, I've been studying earthquakes for decades. I understand patterns. I've watched the ones, the big ones off of, say, the Mideast the Sumatra earthquakes and the tsunamis that occurred from there. And, of course, tsunamis are a natural result of earthquakes. But to have 51 major earthquakes in the same place at the same time is beyond absurd. And so then the other indicator was that all of these large whirlpools developed in the ocean there. Well, what it all comes down to is there were probably 51 nuclear explosions in a certain area under Earth. So someone had to get down there and plant these. The only people capable of doing that would be the U.S. Navy. So someone would have the devices, the capability, who would be able to do this and who controls this. What we're talking about here are major events to take down an entire country. Let's look at the countries that have been taken down by so-called natural events. New Zealand, this past fall, I don't remember the exact dates right off the top of my head here, but the weather that basically destroyed New Zealand in storms that were extremely unusual for that area, and then the earthquake, the major earthquake in New Zealand that rocked that country while there were large groups of people, these people meeting about earthquakes in the country at the time it happened. Right now, the United States government, in association with other groups and agencies, is holding earthquake preparedness practice in the United States, getting the United States ready for its series of earthquakes. The Japan earthquakes, of course, March 11, 2011, rocked that country to its knees, destroying the nuclear reactors that are causing radiation to already be very present in milk and other food products in the United States and also in Europe. The British Petroleum breaking of that well there, and even if that was an accident, there were ways to cap that and prevent the tremendous environmental damage that occurred. But one of the main results of that, besides the pollution, was the fact that it stopped the Gulf Current, which fed the warm water into the North Atlantic Current that goes up to England and Northern Europe. So they had the worst record winter in history, and now they're heading into a summer where they're not going to be able to grow any plants. They're not going to have a growing season. So what we're seeing here there's also questions on some of the major earthquakes in China, that these were man-made. There's different techniques of ability to trigger earthquakes. Earthquakes are typically energy stored up in the earth in fault lines and in other types of geological structures under the earth. But with well-placed triggering mechanisms, all of a sudden you can start to trigger these what appear to be natural events. Australia, the flooding that occurred in Australia was unprecedented. In Northern Australia is subject to storms, but usually Australia is a very dry country. They hardly receive any rain. So for it to rain torrential rain week after week, month after month, until Australia was basically destroyed, is unprecedented. And all of these things appear to be natural events, but what one can also put a pattern on is that now they have the ability to create what appear to be natural events and write it off as an act of God. So, once again, the dates being planned for these events appear to start following a pattern of prime numbers, and these are what the secret societies, a lot of people have been talking about, oh, there's patterns, something's going on, they have a certain agenda, and they have certain dates on which things have to happen. And what I'm finding out is in their planning, these are related to prime numbers. They're related to prime numbers because they always thought that the prime numbers had no patterns, that nobody could find a pattern in what they were doing, and that's part of their ritualistic, strange worship tightly held by secret societies. So anyway, Pastor Peters, that's a kind of a summary here of what I was had to talk about. Each one of these topics, I could probably talk a half an hour on just the particular topic.
Well, while we're talking, why don't we direct my audience to awareness of your program on our network. Tell them when it is and what day of the week it is and what time.
The Pastor Peter's network, my show airs Friday night at 10 p.m. Central Time, and then again 3 a.m. Central Time Saturday morning. And they're also, of course, they stream on the Internet from the Scriptures from America webpage. And then also there is a satellite feed, and that's rather complicated, but you can go to the Scriptures for America webpage and get the information if you have a satellite receiver.
Do you feel like your audience is growing on that program?
There's no question about it.
Good.
I don't know what the numbers are, but there's the indicators, the feedback from people, absolutely. There's no question that people, and also by word of mouth, once, say, people hear it, then they're telling other people. And many times a week, I get to talk to people who are, find the webpage and the information, the radio show, and inevitably, here's what they say, Pastor Peter. They said, I always knew something was wrong. I always knew that what they had taught us was wrong. I never could put the finger on exactly what was going on, but now that you've presented this information, now everything is starting to make sense. That's the reaction I get from people, and so people are waking up all over regarding what's going on.
You know, James, I liken the truth to the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. I wrote a book called Terrible Stories, talking about the tares. In there, I have one example of several years back, they found a man, Bloomberg was his name, stealing basically knowledge out of the universities. He was an actual cat burglar. He had, as I recall, three semi-loads of manuscripts and ancient books and that type of thing that he was going to be taking to Europe. And I suspect they were going to put them in that library that the Catholic Church has deep down in the catacombs type thing. But anyway, they steal knowledge. And my thought is this, is that it's like a river, and you block it up, and it'll keep flowing, and you have to build the dam bigger and wider, but eventually it starts to get out. In other words, they cannot hold it forever. They cannot keep this knowledge. The prophet Hosea said, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And eventually it starts seeping out, leaking out, and getting out to the common man again. What do you think of that analysis?
Well, it's absolutely, absolutely correct. I deal with an agency called NASA, and they're constantly, constantly putting out incorrect information. I call it the garbage science, and a lot of people think, well, NASA, that's the top level of science in the world, and it's really not true. What they don't understand is if you see a person's name or a scientist, if their name is in lights or in a headline or if they're in an article and you read about something, all of that information, first of all, is filtered, and it's filtered to say a very specific, give a very specific message. And, for example, the other day I saw a NASA representative quoting Wikipedia. Wikipedia is one of the most controlled websites I've ever seen. They have good information if you want to travel to some place or you want to see a map. That would give you the impression that all of their information is good. But if you go to science, especially space science, especially astronomy-type topics, and the things that really deal with our future, our birthright to the stars, it's totally misinformation. And that's NASA's job, literally, is to promote this to the public. So you find the big magazines like National Geographic, Discover Magazine, the History Channel, Discovery Channel. These, when it gets to the topics of outer space, and the exploration of outer space and the knowledge of outer space, these topics are tremendously distorted and misrepresented. And so there are whole teams of people working on misinformation on how to focus on the public to give them misinformation so they really don't have a clue what's going on. So if you can take away people's information, for example, the space shuttle, that's not the way to go into space. We spent 30 years watching one or two launches every year of a thing that should never have been built. It's just a colossal white elephant. But people will go down and watch it, and they'll watch the big impressive smoke plume, and they'll go, wow, that's the top technology, and it takes teams and teams of engineers and NASA scientists and billions of dollars to send this off, when that's not the way to go into space at all. Space is very easy to get into, but they present this facade of it's so difficult, only NASA can do it. And people believe this. But anyway, yeah, you're exactly right. There's the false knowledge, the presentation of false information to the public. The news media, the controlled news media regarding everything from politics to why things are going on in the world. I always love when for example, you'll see one country, let's take Iraq, where the people who lived there and were fighting the American soldiers who were there, they were, the local people were called insurgents. Well, wait, an insurgent is somebody that comes in from outside.
Exactly.
These are people that lived there. But you see how the news distorts but if you look in Libya, now they call them, just a second, excuse me. If you look in Libya, They talk about the people who live there who are fighting part of this revolution in Libya. They talk about them as freedom fighters or rebels. They're not insurgents, as they call them in Iraq. So it just depends on whose side is supporting the so-called rebels or local people, what name they pin on them. So the whole news media is just, the contradictions are just blatant and ever-present, that people will sit down every night and listen to the news and not have a clue that this is all being constructed to provide a picture of the world, United States good, all other countries bad, and on and on.
Good point.
Another good one in the United States is the Republican-Democrat. That some people think they're Republicans or some people are Democrats, or they may go back and forth, but they think that this dog and pony show that's presented as American politics is somehow going to, next time we're really going to elect somebody to do some change. And you find that these people are all controlled little puppets. None of them have power to do anything. And the next guy in office is going to do the same thing the other guy did. The other guy would do if he were elected. It's all a big dog and pony show to make the people think that they're electing a democratic government. We haven't had a democracy here for I don't know how long. So the one of the big problems is that people are buying into this false knowledge. But more and more people are waking up because they can see through it. They don't always know all the answers. But I know one thing, I talk about these things all the time, and sometimes people will criticize me. They'll say, well, we came to your show to listen to science. And what I tell them is that, well, you're not going to understand science if you don't understand who's trying to drive the bad science into your brain and why they're doing that and what the history of this is and where all this is coming from and where it's all going. Unless you understand that, how are you going to understand science? How are you going to mix all this together and have an understanding of what's really going on in the world?
A couple points I want to make here. One is that there's probably very good material that NASA puts out, right?
Absolutely.
This is the bait.
Debate.
Yeah, and I see the term you use, garbage science, I see the same thing in regards to ideal in a different arena than you do. Ideal in an arena where all these bastard Baal priest preachers are at. And they'll put out a lot of good stuff. Certain things that will help people, that type of thing. But it's the poison that's put in there that brings the people down. And the same way with NASA, what you're talking about, it's the poison. The good stuff draws you in, makes you lower your guard and think that you've got something. Just like with Wikipedia, they can really tell you something good about where you're going to travel to. And then you develop the confidence in the source, and that's when the poison is so easily slipped in. Agreed?
That's right. Oh, absolutely, absolutely. Yeah, the you can't catch fish if you don't have if you don't have good bait.
Right. You got to make that lure look pretty good.
Right.
You're familiar with their concept of the phoenix bird, aren't you?
Well, I'm certainly familiar with the phoenix bird, but you're saying NASA has a concept?
No, just the enemy itself, the conspirators, and basically for the audience that's listening to this conversation, and then you put your input in on this, James, but they value the phoenix bird because the phoenix bird rises out of the ashes of destruction.
Mm-hmm.
And that is their thought, that they can make something better by destroying.
So that's the Marxist philosophy that Lenin and his followers took in Russia. They said, we have to destroy this society, and then we'll come along, and out of the total destruction, we'll be the glorious leaders and bring everyone into this ultra-modern society where everything works, and then everybody will worship us. And this is what Lenin said. And of course, it's the Marxist, it's just the insane people believing that they can destroy everything and then they can bring it up and build it. Yeah, so it's that same belief that, exactly, that out of the ashes will rise all of this good and they will be the leaders in charge and glorified for all of their hard work and the insight into the human problem. A guy that right now, I want to say that probably the scariest guy on the planet right now is a guy named Bill Clinton. He's promoting himself as the future president of the world. And it's called the Bill Clinton phenomenon. That's the way they're billing it. He's been on some major national TV shows recently, with the show promoting him, of course.
Interesting. Well, I appreciate the interview. I know you got to go, but one other point, and it's a little bit off of everything we're talking about, but I wanted to bring it up to you while I had you on the line. You show in your book on Planet X the hieroglyphics found there in Green River, Utah. And there are some hieroglyphics between here and Vegas, I think it's in Nevada, that are on some rocks. And I was looking at a picture of one of them just last week. And I'm telling you, I ought to send you a copy, a picture of it.
Mm.
But it's okay. The hieroglyphics show somebody in a space suit, and they show a rocket, along with all these other ancient hieroglyphics. Isn't that interesting?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Now, there's some strange, like you say, petroglyphs, hieroglyphics.
Yeah, petroglyphs is probably the right term. I'm probably using the wrong term.
There's some subtle differences, but basically the petroglyphs are usually painting on rock, and then there's other types that are carved into rock, which are...
So this was a petroglyphic figure.
Yeah, I'd like to see those.
Yeah.
Now, the cover of the book that comes from a photo in Green River, Utah, very definitely shows two very, very large comets. And then the characters in there are very interesting, too.
Well, All we can do is speculate. It's very obvious that those are comets, but on regards to those other two characters, this is my speculation, and I gave it in a Sunday sermon last Sunday. I showed it on the screen, and I believe that the priest-looking fellow, if you look at his garment, it looks like a snakeskin, if you look real close to it.
And, oh, yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah, he's a snake. And see, Jesus pointed out, and so did John the Baptist, people that were snakes.
Mm-hmm.
And then he has a snake above his head. You mentioned it might be a lightning bolt, but I think it's a snake, and it's going into a hole. And the these creatures have had underground cities, just like Congress right now has Storm Mountain. I'm sure you've heard of Storm Mountain. They always have a source underground to go to. And there is nothing new under the sun. And I think that that figure off to the left, he looks, he's surprised. Whatever he is, he is absolutely surprised and jumped back.
Right. And absolutely.
I think that there comes a time when they lose their facade and their snake characteristics become seen. And it happens at the time of planetary disruption.
Mm-hmm.
That's just my speculation, but I just wanted to run it by you.
I like that, yeah. I mean, this is, the thing is, there's a couple of things that happen or would happen if something comes into the solar system that would affect us, other planetary members of the solar system. One is that you're going to see a lot of social unrest that's generated, that's caused. And they can pull these things out of their hat. For example, I heard about a riot in one, I don't know if it was Syria or one of the countries, where they were actually protesting the price of gas. There were truck drivers. All of a sudden, some people come in causing all kinds of problem, and then there's a big bloodbath and people are arrested. Well, you know who's causing the problem. You know, these people are the truck drivers in there trying to get some relief for gasoline prices. You know that the CIA is the one that sends in the troops to cause the problems that eventually, and then when the smoke clears, they're out of there causing problems someplace else. But the point is that there's going to be, if something is coming into the solar system, they're going to know about it with NASA's equipment and telescopes. There's going to be a lot of misinformation that's going to be peeking out, and there's going to be a lot of social and political unrest around the world. And also probably a lot of natural disasters that get the people's attention away from what they should be really looking at.
One last thing, and then I'll let you go. The storm fronts that have been moving through, hitting sort of the midsection or back east our country, floods, tornadoes, do you think they're being caused?
They certainly can be. And when you start to see things that are that unprecedented, they can easily be written off as natural events, and potentially they could be. But just like earthquakes, the energy is already there. If somebody knows how to enhance that or trigger that, they can cause a lot more damage or foul weather earthquakes than would normally occur. And those are the kind of things that that you look for. Is this a normal set of patterns? 250 tornadoes in one set of storms. We've seen as many as seven before, but this is like four times the biggest series of storms ever. So you start to look at that and you go, this is not normal. You look at the events in Japan, 50 major earthquakes in one spot at the same time, not unprecedented. You look at the storms in Australia, the recurring storms and rain there for days and weeks, this is on end unprecedented. You know, the other situations, like I say, the not capping the BP oil spill, like Obama had the ability, the companies from Europe were calling him saying, look, we can come down there, we have the equipment to take this oil and process it and avoid any pollution. And Obama told him no, told them no, you cannot come in here. This is U.S. water, we have control over it, and you cannot come here. How absurd. And then they used the excuse, well, the unions didn't want the other workers here. Well, when have you ever heard that, you know, Reagan was going to fire all the postal workers because they were going to go on strike back when he was president? You know, so don't tell me that the president couldn't come in and say, look, everybody, we'll help you out. We can help you out with the union dues or whatever here, but we need to get this thing cleaned up because it's going to destroy the Gulf of Mexico and it's going to stop the ocean current that warms Europe and England and all these northern European countries. You know, it would be easy, but no. He said no because the unions didn't want that. He was helpless. Give me a break. You know, it's so absurd. They can pass legislation that's totally unconstitutional without blinking an eye. So don't tell me they're worried about some union workers down in the Gulf of Mexico who couldn't have done anything anyway.
Good point. Well, I appreciate you. Go ahead.
Yeah. No, I was just saying the absurdity of what is going on today. And like you say, once the information gets out, once people start seeing the absurdity and what they're trying to pawn off as reality, and then people start waking up. But just to review, the main point of what I wanted to talk to today is the fact that I'm starting to crack the codes of their patterns using prime numbers and numerology to plan events. And this gets right to the core of their central beliefs. And so that's why I'm taking time out of my busy schedule to pursue this. I think it's very important, and I think it's very important to broadcast this to the public so that they understand that this is the type of thing they're dealing with. They're dealing with devil worshippers, sorcery, numerology, and this has been going on for a very long time, trying to use the front of democracy and the United States good, everybody else bad. These kind of things, these people are liars, and that's one thing that people have to understand. The people that are there, Obama, the Bushes, the Clintons, they're there because they're professional liars. They can take a story and tell you that this is really good for you. Let's just take something that just happened. It was passed a number of years ago. Now, if you go to the doctor, all of the data that happens in all of your medical records get put into a national medical database. This is now actually happening. Most people don't need their information in a national database because they're never going to go to a doctor away from their own hometown. Why does this have to be in a national database? So the movement to take over the rights of people and their entire lives and private information is already happening.
Well, you've made some great points, and I appreciate you doing it. And I want to point out to the audience that's listening, James McCanny has a program on the Scriptures for America Worldwide Broadcasting Network, 10 o'clock Central Time on Friday evenings. And those programs are archived at the website, scripturesforamerica.org, I believe. And it's also re-aired on Saturday morning at what time?
3 a.m. Central Time.
Now, that might sound like a strange time, but remember, we're talking about shortwave that reaches in the world and other parts of the world. It's not a bad time.
Yeah, so that's in Russia, that's 3 in the afternoon on Saturday. So it's a convenient time for a lot of people to listen elsewhere. And you'd be surprised who's up at 3 in the morning. The people are truck drivers. I get feedback from people all over that just happens to be a time when they can listen. The kids are sleeping. They're up and they have some free time. All kinds of stories for why that's a good time. So it's just another time when it's available for people to listen.
Well, James, thanks for giving me your valuable time and my audience, and we'll be putting this on the air more than once. And you get more information like that along the way, let me know. And I'm going to send you this book on Rulers of Evil so we can be in contact about that.
Yeah, I very much would like to see that. That sounds... do you remember who the author was?
Yeah, Tupper Saucy. You ever heard of him?
No.
He was pretty famous in the tax protest movement, wrote some interesting material, wrote a very interesting book called Miracle on Main Street back in the 80s. And I actually interviewed him, was going to put the interview on the air and promote the book, but you'll see in the book at the end, and he ties her all in to a great extent to the Catholic Church, but in the end basically takes position. There's no sense fighting evil. And so I just never put it out. I let some people read it. But he's a pretty famous individual in his own right, but he's deceased now.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, I'll be looking forward to that book. That sounds very interesting.
Okay, thank you, James.
Thank you, Pastor Peters. Have a good day.
Okay, James McKinney back live again. That was an interview. Recorded in April, my last interview with Pastor Peter Peters before he passed away a number of weeks ago, and I hope that's self-explanatory. The issues going on today in the world are many, diverse, and complicated, but once you understand them, unfortunately there's not many people that really do have a good handle on this, but once you do understand them, you understand that it's time, really, for the world to turn around and take it back. The clowns, the idiots, the very corrupt, disoriented people running the world today simply have to be put aside. And how that happens or how it will happen it's got to happen for the people of the world to get back in control. This isn't the first time in history this has happened. This kind of control and deranged operation, and it's kind of a natural evolution. But at any rate, I hope this program helps put things into perspective. This is Jim McKinney. This is my Science Hour, and remember to visit the webpage jmccsci.com. jmckinneyscience.com is the full name. James McKinney. This is my Science Hour, and as always, we are at the crossroads. Good night.